and thank you for tuning in to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt, and I'm the Communications and Events Manager for Engineering Student Services. You've talked to me a couple times now. So you've all finished Golden Bear Advising, and you've gone over your schedule with your ESS advisor, and this week all of you will be registering. Today, transfers are getting to do their registration, and on Wednesday, our freshman students are going to do theirs. So what's next? This week, I'm delighted to have two ESS advisors here to talk about what you should be doing now that you've registered. So first, Shaniqua Butcher, please introduce yourself to all of our new students.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here. Congratulations and welcome. I am Shaniqua Butcher, and I am the ESS advisor for mechanical engineers with last names A through O, nuclear engineers, as well as energy engineers. So welcome to you all.
And how long have you been on campus?
I have been on campus a whole 12 years now in a variety of capacities. This is by far my favorite, and I thoroughly enjoy working with engineering students.
And welcome to the podcast. We're excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Olivia, we have Olivia Chan. Please introduce yourself.
Hi. Welcome. Congratulations as well. My name is Olivia Chan. I'm also one of the Engineering Student Services advisors. I advise Electrical Engineering Computer Science, last name P through Z, Environmental Engineering Science, and Engineering Math and Statistics. And I've been on campus for 5 years.
And thank you both again so much for coming today and going over a few things that students should keep in mind over the next few weeks before they're on campus.
All right. So I think I'll start off talking about the fact that you all have phase one coming up. I know that's very exciting for you. You're going to have the opportunity to sign up for up to 17 and a half units during that phase. Once that period is over, you won't be able to make any changes to your schedule until what's called the adjustment period comes up. And that's going to happen on August 13th. At that time, you'll be able to go back in, make any changes that you feel necessary, or even add up to 20 and a half units.
And the 20 and a half units is a big thing because we talked with Kathy Barrett earlier about shopping and dropping. So we don't necessarily want them to take 20.5 units through the whole semester.
Right. So the 20 and a half is potentially if you were going to maybe shop some HSS classes, give yourself the first week or two to decide, hey, let me just see which one of these classes I'd like to keep on my schedule. Once I kind of go to a couple of those classes, decide this is the one that really suits my interest best, and I can drop down to a more reasonable unit load, especially given that this is my first semester. So anywhere from 12 to 16 units.
And Olivia, can you tell us a little bit more about the wait list?
Yeah, so wait list enrollment, once enrollment opens, wait lists will be processed 4 times daily. So wait lists are processed in sequential order according to reserve caps associated with each course. Students who are further down the waitlist and meet the reserve cap requirements will be enrolled, assuming there's space in the section, before students higher on the waitlist who do not meet the reserve cap requirements. So if you aren't moving up on the waitlist, you'll want to check for the following. Make sure that you aren't exceeding unit limits. So again, during phase one, you'll be enrolling in up to 17.5 units, and then as Shaniqua mentioned, during the adjustment period, you can enroll in up to 20.5. So if you aren't moving up and if you're trying to add a class and it is exceeding one of those unit capacities, then that's one of the reasons why you aren't moving up on the wait list. The other thing you will want to check for is, are there any enrollment holds on your Cal Central? So if there are enrollment holds, you'll want to go ahead and contact that department to get it removed.
And one of the enrollment holds that I think some of our students might see is if they haven't finished their Golden Bear Advising. So to do that, you just need to contact your ESS advisor and figure out why it's not registering or why we put that hold on you.
Yes.
And speaking of contacting your ESS advisor, Shaniqua, what other reasons would you want to have contact with your advisors?
Well, for those of you that have actually finished Module 4 of Golden Bear Advising, you actually are able to sign up for an appointment with your ESS advisor. And a reason why you might do that would be, say you took a course at another institution, you want to see if it counts as one of your requirements here. You could contact your ESS advisor to talk about what that course evaluation process looks like. You might also contact them to get any clarification on policy that you don't understand, what you probably can wait for would be something like a four-year plan. Certainly that can be addressed in the fall when you arrive on campus. Or if you were considering changing a major or thinking about figuring out what that process looks like, you can certainly hold those questions for a later time when you're actually on campus.
And how do students actually have to come in for appointments, or do they have other options?
So students, we understand that you're not all here in Berkeley at this time, so you can certainly sign up for an appointment and indicate that you'd like a phone appointment, leaving your phone number in the notes section. For those of you that are local, certainly you can come in for an in-person appointment. And you can always email your advisor, understanding that we certainly are busy right now, replying to all 500 plus freshmen that are coming in and transfer students that are coming in at this point. So it may be a little bit delayed, but you can contact your advisor in a variety of ways.
And, I'm sorry.
So just as a reminder, appointments are 20-minute blocks, and we expect students to arrive within 5 minutes. If after 5 minutes, you would have to reschedule your appointment.
Okay. And to make the appointments, it's engineering.berkeley.edu/ESS, and we've got a big blue box on there for you to click on to schedule that appointment. And if you're wanting to do a phone appointment, it has a notes section, so you could specifically write in that notes section that it's a phone appointment.
And please include your phone number.
Oh, yes, that would be good. And so going back to the registration process that we've got going on, one of the things that I know a lot of students might have questions about is the swap function and what's the reason behind that. And I think I figured out the best way to explain how to use the swap function is if there's a class that you really want to take, but you can't get into it because it's full, and there's another class at the same time that kind of fulfills the same requirements, but it's just the second class that you want to take. It's not the number one choice. Sign up for the class that you can get into. And depending on where you are on your unit limit, sign up for all your classes that you can register for first, and then go back and do the swap function. Because that's if you do the swap function before you're at your limit, it counts towards your unit limit. So sign up for all your courses first, and then go back in and do a swap function for that B choice class that you have signed up for, and do the swap for the A choice class. So that puts you on the wait list for the class A, and as soon as a spot becomes available, it automatically swaps you out of B into A. You don't have to do anything for it. This does make a difference when school actually starts and you're here on campus, because if you might get swapped out if you haven't gotten rid of that swap function, and it doesn't tell you. Nothing tells you that you've been swapped. So make sure you're checking your schedule regularly to see if that swap function actually kicked in for you.
So just as a follow-up in terms of why you should waitlist a class versus why you should swap a class. So you should waitlist a class if you feel like you have a chance of actually enrolling in it, of getting into it. You should swap if you are afraid of not being able to enroll in the class, but you do have a backup class that's at the same time.
Right.
So also kind of going back on waitlist, another thing just to add is if you can get into a course, in terms of looking where you are on the waitlist, if there is an open spot in a section that would get you enrolled in the class, you should take that over enrolling in a or waitlisting in a class or in a section that you may or may not get in. So if there's a spot available, if you can get into a section, you'll want to go ahead and enroll in that, because there's never any guarantee that you will move up on the wait list and out of the wait list to get into the class.
So yes, this does mean that 8 a.m. section that nobody's signing up for, you should just go ahead and jump in on that, and you can switch things around later. Just get in the class to start.
It's all about flexibility.
Yes.
I fear most of these students had to have been going to school pretty early anyways. I think most high schools start at like 7:30, 7:45, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing how soon that gets forgotten.
Or just the idea that I don't have to do it anymore, and you're like, oh, no, you do.
Right.
Welcome. Yeah, you do. The other thing I was wondering about the wait list is there a way to judge what's a good number if you were doing a wait list? Like, if there's one person on the wait list, it seems pretty safe if you're going to end up being, like, number two on the wait list. Doesn't, like, that seems a little bit safer. But is there something that you should look for that you're like, oh, no, that's just way too many people on the wait list. It's not worth.
So the wait lists are processed depending on the department and, again, depending on reserve capacities. Meaning, so, for example, you may actually move down. You may start off being on waitlist number 2 and then move to waitlist number 7. And it's because, let's say, this class is designed for seniors. And so seniors will have priority enrolling into the class, which then may push you further down the wait list. So,
oh, that's a good to know if for some reason you're like, I thought I was number 1 and now I'm number 12.
Right.
Right. So if you have a concern about it, check the reserve capacity, see what the enrollment
reservations like.
Are. And if you still have questions, then go ahead and just contact the department.
For a lot of the humanities courses, I know the classes are usually a lot smaller for your the RNCs or
generally there's about a 20% attrition rate when it comes to dropping classes. So if you're in a class where there are 100 students, then you can bet that if you're maybe between number 1, number 20 on the wait list, you have a pretty good chance of getting into that class. Anything beyond that, you may have a less of a chance.
Okay.
And also with smaller classes, just generally, of course, your position is just that much more critical. Larger classes, you tend to have a better shot at getting into off of a wait list.
But again, this is why we also ask students to have backup classes, because there are some classes that definitely are more popular in terms of students trying to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that you have options.
Okay.
I don't know if this is worth mentioning, but I will since we're talking about it. Classes like the CS61A that are webcast and there are these massive enrollment numbers, traditionally, historically, they have been able to accommodate all students because it is a webcast course and they're not depending on physical space to accommodate all students. So you may show up as in the hundreds. You might be number 200 on a wait list, but it doesn't mean that you don't have a shot at all in getting into the class. It just may mean that they're waiting to see how the enrollment sorts out. And once they know what numbers they're dealing with in the end, they go ahead and let everybody else into the class.
Oh, okay. And so since our podcast is What's Next, I think one of the big things of What Next is that you're going to be doing Golden Bear Prep, which is a UC-wide program, similar to what you were doing with Golden Bear Advising. So to complete the Golden Bear Prep, you'll be invited through a task in Cal Central to complete that part of your Golden Bear experience. So the Golden Bear experience, it seems like there's 3 parts to it. You've got the advising, the prep, and orientation. And I'm excited. Our next time, we're actually going to get to meet everyone during Golden Bear orientation. We have a full day planned and then a half day planned, so we get quite a bit of time with our new students.
Oh, you all enjoy it.
You will.
I know we do.
We really do.
So another good way that you can utilize your time this summer to prepare for when you arrive in the fall is to go back and listen to episode 203, Preparing for Berkeley Engineering This Summer, by Tiffany Reardon. It's my understanding that she goes over things like refreshing your math skills and accessing free online coding sources.
Like codeacademy.org for all of you EEK students out there.
Yeah.
And all of our students have to take a coding class of some kind, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So if you haven't ever done coding before, she's got some resources that are fantastic just to get you introduced to the idea of what exactly coding is.
Mm-hmm. And also another pretty basic topic like preparing your resume for LinkedIn.
Yeah, our first career fairs are that first week of school. I mean, this career stuff starts right off the bat.
Starts right away, for sure.
Well, thank you both for coming. Is there anything that we missed that we want to talk about?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Yeah.
We'll
okay,
answer
good.
Any
okay.
additional questions in our appointments.
Well, thank you so much, Shaniqua and Olivia, for coming in today and doing the podcast with us and giving a little bit more about what's next and what to think about this week as you're doing registrations and the adjustment period. I know students are constantly, the scheduling, it's just going to change through the whole summer until you get to that final ad drop deadline, which is the 4th week of school.
Right, right. So be flexible. Understand that things are probably not going to go exactly according to the plan that you have, and it will work out just fine because everybody else is in the exact same situation.
And we are here to support you. That is part of our job.
And students are going to finish in 4 years. Or freshmen will finish in 4 years. We want transfers to finish in their 2 years. We make the plans and we have the classes to support that as well. So
absolutely.
Don't be concerned that you're not going to be able to get the classes that you need.
All right.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I really like having this chance to get to talk to you a little bit more and give you a little more insight into the College of Engineering. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.